wisdom and spiritual understanding. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do in our hearts. So we're going to start again. Who's speaking? Paul, who's he speaking to? Believers in Colossae. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timotheus, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ, which are at Colossae. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see what Paul, how he's starting out his train of thought. And he's, when he thinks of them, when we think of each other, we should be giving thanks. Even if you don't like somebody in church, they're still part of the body of Christ. God never said we gotta like everybody, right? He said to love everybody. You know, forgive. He didn't say forgive when you feel like forgiving. He said forgive as you've been forgiven. He didn't say go by our feelings. You know that most of you know the Dewey train, you know. I forgot exactly how it goes, but the first D starts with doctrine. The engine should be driven by doctrine, and the end is emotion. And today, what is it more driven by? Emotion. You know, if you go to your average evangelical church, they're trying to pump them up. You know, but anyway, Paul says, we give thanks to God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. So we're going to look at, you know, what's the best commentator on Scripture? Scripture is the best commentator. If you want to know, doctrine means a body of truth. It doesn't just mean teaching. When you want to know the doctrine of justification, that God declares you righteous, you go to different verses and it gives you, you get this. This is what exegetical preaching is, or teaching. It's verse by verse, and you're digging out. You know, that's what I love doing. Sometimes when I'm really not confused, I don't want to say, but not getting some, I start digging. It drives me crazy until I understand what that word means, you know, or what Paul's trying, or whatever, whoever's speaking or writing, what are they, why are they saying it? What are they trying to say? So let's go to 2 Thessalonians 5, 18. 16 to 18.
First Thessalonians 5.
Second, please. 2 Thessalonians 5, 16 to 18. Then it's got, why do I got first? Then it's got to be First Thessalonians. Thank you for, somebody's my Ed McMahon of Paul Baalbek thinger. Rejoice evermore. So we see God wants us to rejoice. He wants you to be spiritually happy. I like Dave brought that up in the message one time. And what else? Pray without ceasing. And when it says rejoice evermore, my New King James says always. God wants us always rejoicing. And his will, because people go, what's God's will for me? Right? God, what is your will for me? And they're waiting for him to hear a little voice, that soft little voice or whatever, you know. Read, you want to know God's word? I mean, his will? Read it. But you better rightly divide his word, because God's will for Israel under law was different than ours under grace and his instructions, isn't it? So we see we should be praying without ceasing. You know what that idea is? Does that mean the whole day? Do you know some Jews pray with their eyes open? So I must have a little Jewish in me. I pray when I'm driving. I'm praising God when I'm driving. You know, you ever do that? And all of a sudden people are looking at you and you're just the joy of the Lord. And I don't care. Praise the Lord. You know. But it's all through the day realizing this privilege, who we are, that we're not praying far away. God's not way out in heaven. No, he is. because he's everywhere. But he literally indwells us, right? God's Spirit's in us. Christ is in us, right? So we don't got it. You know, they say, seems like my prayers are stopping. Well, they say, can't get past the ceiling or... No. The Holy Spirit in us takes... And don't worry. Sometimes, you know, people are afraid to pray because they're like, well... Especially when you're new to how to rally divide the word, right? That's one of the most confusing places is in your prayer life. Because what do I pray for now? I used to pray for prosperity and, you know, I'm always healed. And, you know, what do I pray for? And they sometimes kind of slack off on praying. But there's a lot to pray for. Study Paul. Paul's our pattern, right? Study Paul's prayers. And we'll see what his prayer was here. So the idea, knowing who you are, knowing the intimacy you have with God, you're talking to him all day. And what do you, is there anything we can tell God that he don't know? Some people think so, right? When they pray, they're trying to tell God how to do it, right? God, you need to slap this one. Wake him up, you know. Oh, she knows what I'm talking about. God knows everything. So what's the smartest thing to do when you're praying? Pray God's will back to him, his word. He taught, he teaches our mind, he transforms our mind, our thinking, right? With sound doctrine, sound grace doctrine. And then we just pray back what we're learning. When it says here, pray without ceasing. And also, listen to the next part. And everything... Give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. So we start giving God thanks. God says you're justified. He sees you covered in Christ's righteousness. Thank you, Lord. That's why I know God can use me this morning. I'm justified. And, you know, in my daily walk, I'm not walking on clouds. I don't have a glow unless... I remember I had a white shirt on when we first started doing this, and I want to give you credit how much more the videos have improved. And it looked like I was glowing. I told Mary, it's good, you know. Somebody watching, wow, that dude, he's like anointed by the Holy Spirit, you know. Catch our attention anyway, you know. There's nobody more anointed than anybody else. You know, we all have the same Holy Spirit. Now, there's a difference, we're all indwelt by the Holy Spirit, but there's a difference of being filled with the Spirit. Being filled with Spirit is being controlled by it. How does that work? We'll see later. It's whatever your independence on will control you. It's just a natural outcome. It's not just 15 minutes in the morning, or like a guy, you know, I have a lot of friends on Facebook from all over, all different biblical ideas. Well, they're doing a fast and pray all night, you know. And so, you know, I don't try and correct everybody. I try and edify people. You know, I'm not going to, myself, and I don't know how your take on it is, Paul never commands us to fast. You know, even under law, the Pharisees says I fast, you know, 3 times a week. Remember? He's saying, look at this sinner, you know, I'm glad I'm not like him. I fast 3 times a week and I do this, and he's trying to impress God. You know, that's legalism. But I think under law, it might have been, I didn't really research that, but it's off the top of my head, it might have been once a week or something. But Paul never instructs us. Now, do I get to jump on him about that? He's praying for me. I'm thanking him for it. And I'm trying to, in other ways, show him how to rightly divide the word. And then, you know what? He'll start seeing for himself. You know? But it's not one night of prayer or 15 minutes in the morning and then I'm done. And I did my, you know, 2 chapters in the Bible. It's relationship. I'm talking with God. As I go throughout the day, I'm speaking to him and I'm thanking him and I'm praising him. I'm thanking him for correcting me where I've been off, because I don't want to teach error. I want to teach truth. I've had to change my understanding at different times, you know, in my especially my younger Christian walk, when I was under legalism, and I came to understand grace by learning how to rightly divide the word. So anyway, God's will is what? That we rejoice. And go to Ephesians 6, 18 and 19. We rejoice in that we're praying. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. I want to stop there for a sec. Well, I'll read the whole thing first. Praying with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And then Paul asked for prayer for him, not that he would prosper, not that even he would be healed of his thorn in the flesh, right? What? But for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. We need to pray for boldness. Some people are naturally bold, you know what I'm saying? Some people are just ignorantly bold. I don't like loud, obnoxious people being around, you know. A lot of guys can be like that, but a lot of women I notice nowadays, they think it's cool, you know, to be loud and obnoxious and nasty and, you know. But a lot of times, like myself, I'm not naturally bold, believe it or not. I prayed, God, give me boldness. But even if you're not bold to maybe approach somebody directly with the gospel, or maybe you're a new believer and not sure how to present it, can't you leave tracts out and pray that God would use that seed? What I want to ask, I'm asking myself, when's the last time we let somebody learn? When's the last time we tried? When's the last time we planted seeds? What's God's will? Speaking of God's will, that all men be saved, right? And come to the knowledge of the truth. God's will is that we, out of love, reach out. Now, there's different ways to do it. You can use tracts. I use Facebook. She's my friend on Facebook. That's ministry to me, you know. And you get attacked when you share grace, but so what? I got talked about when I was messing up in my life. I was a black sheep in my family. And so we need to pray for boldness. But some people are pretty bold, ain't they, that know how to rightly divide the word? Because now they got some knowledge under their belt, right? Got some guns. One here and one there. Who can I shoot down today? Right? But Paul says, not in this verse, but another verse, that he should share and be bold as he ought. Share as he ought. There's a way to share. It's not ignorantly. We can sometimes be offensive and turn people off to grace and rightly divide the word because we're ignorant. Or we're trying to push them. Don't you see it? Can't you see this, brother? It's right in front of you. What's wrong with you? Wipe my feet off. Dust off my feet. There's a way to share the gospel. And there's a way to share the mystery. Paul's apostleship. It's speaking the truth in love. It's doing it for their benefit, for God's glory. So Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication. Now, prayer there, you ever hear, you know, on Facebook, you'll see a lot of people, they'll write a prayer out. God, I pray for everybody in the world to be saved. All the people that are sick to be healed. You know what supplication means? Specific. Be specific on your prayers. You know somebody who's sick? Bill. We got to keep him in prayer.
Yeah.
Going through a lot. And then I just want to say is she's in need of people to go there maybe if you can do 3-4 hours and kind of stay with him so she can go to work. I told her like Wednesday, and then even when he gets home, because the medication he's on is affecting him a lot. And she's having to be very, well, you know Bill anyway, right? He ain't got no lockjaw, so you can imagine if he's not feeling good. So we need to keep both of them in prayer. But be specific with your prayers. And praying in the Spirit, what's that mean? I used to think that's what it meant. I was a Pentecostal. I was taught that. Paul said, I'll pray with my mind. You know, praying in the Spirit is under the influence of the Spirit. Where's the Holy Spirit going to influence you? You're praying God's word and his will back to him. With all perseverance, don't quit. You've been praying for your family's salvation? If you ain't, boy, y'all quiet this morning. Double up that coffee, the caffeine out there, Myrtle. I forgot where I was going to go.
Praying for unsaved family members.
Yeah, so we're praying God's word back to him. That's what I was talking about earlier. And for all the saints. So that's God's will too, that we pray for each other. And I don't stop at our church. I pray for the Berean Bible Society, Kevin Sadler, the president, the pastor, as he answers all them questions that people write in. That would just, you know, call in. He gets charged up doing that. That would just... You know, even on Facebook, I don't like arguing, you know, and I won't. I'll share with somebody twice, and if they don't see it in the Word, okay, believe what you want, you know. Leave it at that, you know, and then pray for them, that Holy Spirit takes the scales off their eyes. So back to Colossians 1. So Paul's been praying for them in verse 3. Since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints. See, our faith should produce what? Love, right? True faith should produce love. What's the fruit of the Spirit? Love. And I believe that's singular. And out of love comes love, peace, and joy, and patience, and gentleness and meekness, long-suffering, you know, all the way down to self-control. So, remember last week I mentioned there's a lot of words here that I didn't have time to really write them down. But look at Colossians is a book of fullness, our completeness in Christ, who Christ is, you know. Look what faith. These are the ingredients. You know, grace is like a cake. As you put the ingredients together, you mix them up, it comes out sweet. And a birthday cake, got candles on there, lights it up, right? Some people put dynamite on there, blow it up. So you see, I'm not going to say what verses, I'm just going to read them. You see faith, love, hope, truth, the gospel, understanding, knew that you knew the grace of God and truth. You see fruit. That's what rightly dividing is supposed to, and understanding the mystery is supposed to produce fruit in our lives. It's not supposed to get us puffed up. I said that's a turnoff to people when we're puffed up. I don't like people who think they're better than other people, do you? You know that verse where Paul says that, you know, I'm trying to think exactly how it goes. Anyway, a righteous man, he's talking about somebody like a legalist. you know, wouldn't dare to die for. Actually, you know, like the sort of, you're walking next to a cliff. It's like the Bears with the Packers. Yeah. I can't stand self-righteous people. Like, they turn people off to the gospel. And then I'm going to try and share with them, and they think I'm a legalist too. Like, and I'm watching that clock today. I will be done, bam, on time. I thought it was 10:45, and so that's why last week I kept going, when you don't do it all the time. But this pastor was in a restaurant with another pastor, and the waitress come, and she says, would you like drinks? This legalistic pastor said, I don't let wine touch my lips, and don't you dare. And he told him, shut up. How am I going to evangelize her and share the gospel with her now? See, like a self-righteousness. We need to be humble and thankful. We're saved by grace. We don't deserve it. Our knowledge didn't save us. The gospel saved us. But we better have some good knowledge and know how to rightly divide the word and study this word so we can share it clearly with others. He says, for the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, wherefore you heard in the word of the truth of the gospel, which has come unto you as it is in all the world, and bringeth forth fruit. See, that's what a clear, pure gospel message does. It should bring forth fruit. As it does also in you, and since the day we heard of it, since the day ye heard of it, and knew the grace of God in truth. So, go to Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. What's the gospel? All you got to know, memorize, is two different places. And it's presented in different ways in different places, but these two I always put together. Paul, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4, right? That Paul said, he received this from Christ, and you know, this is what I gave you, and you're saved and you stand on. So you get saved by believing this, and you stay saved, okay? That Christ died for our sins, according to the scriptures, he was buried and he rose. You trust in that. Now, some people believe that. Our Catholic friends believe that. You know, every denomination under the name Christendom believes that, but they don't all believe Ephesians 2, 8, 9. This is the other verses. You have been saved by grace. You're saved by unmerited favor, right? You have been saved by grace. And different translations, one will say you have been, one will say you are. And I've said this before, that's why I love going to the Greek. Because it's in the perfect tense, I think that's what it's called. It means some that have happened in a point in time will continue in results. You were saved at a point in time, the moment you trusted that Christ died for your sins. He was buried and he rose. And you continue to be saved throughout eternity. You're saved by grace through faith as a gift to God. God says, here, take it. It's paid for. I loved you. God demonstrated his love, what? In this. He demonstrated. He didn't just talk about it. In this, what? While we were still sinners. Not when we clean ourselves up, right? Not when we turn from all of our sins. While we were still sinners, Christ died for our sins. It's a gift of God, not a work, lest any man should boast. Praise God. Because if we could lose it, I would. I lose car keys. I left my wallet home today. Praise God, I got my first early retirement check, very much. But I'm very thankful because I can help with some bills and... And I can't believe I left money home when I been folk for a while. See, so I lose my salvation. And I don't know what y'all think, but I thank God every day. You know? And so once they believe that, so in Ephesians, what did I say? 1:13-14? In whom you trusted, and it's in context, go to verse 12, that we should, to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. They placed their complete trust in what Christ finished work, right? And whom also trusted after ye heard the word of truth. So faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word, right? See how different verses will make things clear? The word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom after that ye believed. What's believe mean? You believe it. There's more to the idea. It's complete trust. I don't just believe Jesus died on the cross. I believe he died for me. And that's all I need to do is believe. And God saved me. And he'll save the worst of sinners. You know that? And he'll deny the best of man. The most righteous, self-righteous person in Adam, God will shun. Because they try and come in their filthy, dirty rags of their own righteousness. And God won't accept it. He won't allow us to have our fingerprints on our salvation. Because it's all what he did. And so once they believe that, whom you believe, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. So the Holy Spirit is a seal that we received the life of Christ, didn't we? See, it's not only he forgave our sins, all of them, past, present, and future. Most people don't even understand complete the finality of the cross, let alone the reality of the resurrection. Most people think, what's it mean to be saved? Oh, I'm forgiven for my sins. Do you ask God to forgive you? Do you confess your sins and ask God to forgive you, like your pastor told you? Oh, yeah. I thought you were forgiven. See how in Christendom, they talk, some of Christendom, a majority, they talk out of two sides of their mouth. You're forgiven, but you got to get forgiven. I don't know, to you, that confuses me. Until I went to the scriptures. It'll do a whole lot of deconfusing, right? And so they believed, what did I say? They were sealed with the Holy Spirit, which is an earnest guarantee until the redemption of the purpose possession unto the praise of his glory. So these are someone who were saved by grace through faith, right? And God took them out of Adam. They were crucified with Christ. See, Christ came, he was God, right? But he identified with man, didn't he? Yet without sin. He died, right? He identified with what? Our sins. He was buried, didn't he? 3 days. And he rose. Now the moment, he did that for everybody. But it doesn't benefit us until a person realizes, I'm a sinner, I can't save myself, and trusts that he died my death. God, then, you're crucified with Christ. God sees you dying with Christ. He's dying your death. You were buried with him. You died who you were in Adam. When you get Adam's old thoughts from that sin nature, no, that ain't me anymore. I was buried. You know, somebody was walking down the street. They used to be a drug dealer. And somebody told him, hey, so-and-so. And he knew they were looking for some drugs. They didn't know he got saved. And he said, no, that person died. They ain't around no more. See, that's how we need to see ourselves. You were buried. You'll never come back in Adam. In order to lose your salvation, you would have to go back and be with Adam. And God didn't stop there. Not only did you die, you rose with Christ. Romans chapter 6. You rose with him. Not only are you spiritually alive, guess where you're at? You're seated with him in the heavenlies, and I won't probably have the time to get to it, maybe. And when we look at ourselves from in our identity in Christ, from that heavenly perspective, you're seated with Christ. You say, how am I there when I'm here? Well, Christ is the head. Where the head is, his body is. Where the body is, the head's there. Christ is seated, and we're many members, one body in Christ, right? We're seated with him already. We're taken out of the kingdom of darkness. Satan don't want you to know that. You know that? He wants you to be afraid. Ooh, bind them demons. Put some oil on around your windows. You know? Bind them. There's a demon there. In Jesus' name. And here's a demon here. Right? They used to do that at that Pentecostal church I went to, and I love them people. I want to tell you something. There's some Pentecostal people that I knew that had more love. And Mary's got a friend who she used to work with. She's charismatic, and she'd see somebody walk by. She'd grab a track and run out and get them. This one ain't getting away. She had more of what God's looking for than a lot of people I know that rightly divide the Word of God. We're supposed to rightly divide the Word of God, and it should do something in us. It should motivate us. It should cause us to realize, I can't do what God calls me to do. But it's no longer an I who lives, Paul says, but right? But it's Christ who lives in him. The life he lives in his body or his flesh, he lives by what? The faithfulness or faith. And I think it's both. It's Christ's faithfulness to produce in you what you can't produce from yourself. But it's also, faith is dependence. I depend on Christ to do what I can't do, and he does it. He produces the fruit. Then who gets the glory? I can't, you know, that's why I say, I know at the Bema seat, when our rewards are handed out, I'll have none. You know, Paul talks about crowns. That has the idea of authority, right? We're going to serve in them, function in them, places of authority where Satan and his demons are had. And Satan don't like that. He don't want you to know. He got none on us. We don't got to be afraid of him. We got to be aware. You know the only thing he can do is deceive you. He can deceive you in being afraid. He's like a lion that's been detoothed. You know what the old lions do when they hunt? They stay behind and roar. They ain't got no teeth no more. They can't do much damage. That's all he can do is, what's Peter say? He goes to and fro like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. But what does he do? He deceives. How? The human philosophy, traditions of men. See, he's got ways of deception. All he can do is deceive. So what's the answer to that? Knowing truth. What did Jesus say? You'll know the truth. You'll know it. How do you know the truth? Jesus said, Father, sanctify them by their word. Thy word is truth. The word of God. When you understand the word of God, rightly divided, then you realize, I'll just jump real quick, up to 13. Who has delivered us, talking about God. Well, here, go in verse 12. Giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet. All right, what's meet mean? My New King James actually qualifies it. It means qualified. We don't qualify ourselves. God qualifies us. Giving thanks to the Father who has made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We're children of the light now. We're not in Satan's kingdom no more. He can't do nothing about that. Once you're saved, you ain't going back in darkness. And you know, when you're walking in sin and the light can hurt your eyes, don't it? Dave's brought it up and he stole it from somebody, so I steal his stuff. And we're like comedians stealing good jokes, you know. This word will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this word. See, Satan tries to deceive us. Even in, you know, Mary calls them doubting darts, you know, them flaming darts. Paul talks about putting on the armor of God. I'm really studying that out because I really want to grasp it, like I prayed and studied months in Romans chapter 6. Boyd knows how you can get deep in the study, right? Because you really want to understand something. And when, excuse me. Oh, that devil coming at me. Do you know Consuntite? They used to think, you know, that when you sneeze, the demon would go in you. So God bless you. Yeah. I can't say the devil made me do it, because this verse tells me, who has delivered us from the power of darkness. You know what that word power means? The authority. We're not under Satan's authority. So the idea is, the one who has authority has power, and the one who has power has authority. Okay? We've been delivered from Satan, his demons, but he's going to try and make you think, he's going to deceive you. That's all he'll try. So that's why I encourage you, stay in this word. You know? Because we get lazy, don't we? Oh, I'm sorry. I'm the only one who gets lazy. I see all y'all kind of glowing out there. You know? So the light? No. And don't get all feel. Satan will bring things to your mind, right? Where you failed. He wants you to focus on your failures. We don't need to. You fail, Paul says he forgets what's past. And what's he do? Get your focus on Christ. That's all. We all failed. Satan's going to point his finger at you. He's going to try and put you under law. That's why you got to rightly divide the word, so you know you're not under law. Look at you. What kind of Christian are you? And if you're a young Christian, he'll make you doubt your salvation. I used to wonder, how, God, if I'm really a Christian, how come I get these thoughts? Until I understood the doctrine of two natures. And it says, in whom, who has delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated or transported us into the kingdom of his Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And it says, as you learn of Epaphras, our dear fellow servant, who is for you a faithful minister of Christ. Go to 2 Timothy 2:2. Got 3 minutes. Epaphras, I mentioned it last week. I was actually going to go there, but just for time, maybe I'll keep going next time I teach. Paul taught in Ephesus in between, like, I think it's like 2.5 years, and he debated in the Jewish synagogue with them about Christ, about the kingdom. Christ is their Messiah, right? Well, what he did, they were rejecting it, so he goes right next door, I believe in Corinth, and starts teaching right next door. You know, why do you think the Corinthians were speaking in tongues? Part of it. They were carnal, weren't they? If you ain't never read the book of Corinthians or 2nd, they were if you want, physically carnal. The Galatians were spiritually carnal, getting back on the law, mixing law with grace. Why would the Jews believe God was going to Gentiles apart from Israel? Because they started, God gave them their gift. See, the gifts now, them signed gifts, now we're going to the Gentiles. See, there's a purpose for things. Jesus didn't just do his healings just to heal. It was proven he was Messiah. Why was Peter and them doing early on healings and wonders and signs? To verify their message. You crucified your Messiah. Why was Paul doing signs and wonders in the beginning of his ministry? Later, you see, he left Trophimus sick. Timothy, take a little wine. To verify his ministry. He had a new message. Why should they believe Christ appointed him a new apostle with the new message, with the new commission? The same signs and wonders. So anyway, I have to end. I'm just going to end like that. I hope this encourages us all. I always say, I pray for yous every morning. I pray for yous who watch the videos and listen to the audios. Let's keep each other in prayer and pray for the pastor every day. Because who you think Satan's going to be really attacking? Pastor? Those who teach? Because if he can get them to fall, what if the pastor fell in adultery? How about, what would that do to you? And think about the message. Oh, see that great, what people accuse grace believers. Oh, that grace stuff just teaches people to sin. Keep them in prayer, okay? And please keep me in prayer. I love you guys, and hopefully this has been somewhat edifying for you.